You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret will be back with me tomorrow. Some new data analysis is giving us some food for thought when it comes to music and pop culture, suggesting that as we age, we lose interest in discovering new music and exploring bands and songs and genres that expand our musical horizons. That's according to a researcher who broke down data from the music service Spotify. The turning point, according to the study, age 33. That's when users appear to stop checking out new music of the day, instead going back to the music of their glory days, of the teens and 20s. This is not peer-reviewed public science, but a great conversation starter. Our next guest has been thinking about these issues for a long time now. Stephen Hayden is a music writer based here in Wisconsin. He's a staff writer at Grantland. Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Stephen, you wrote about this 4 years ago when you were at this turning point age, the age of 33. What do you think changes in our musical lives in our early 30s that we start to get kind of fossilized?
Well, I think there's a number of factors that happen. I mean, if you compare music to movies or television, music is so much more vast than those areas. You know, the music is changing all the time. There's so many artists. It just takes a lot more work to keep up with popular music. So, you know, as you enter your 30s, your life gets fuller. You know, you get married, you have kids, you have a mortgage, and you don't have the free time necessarily to keep up with music. I also think that there's something about music that people use when they're teenagers to form their identities. You know, like when you're a teenager, a lot of times, if you get into a certain genre or a certain band, that becomes a big part of who you are, and it's how you define yourself. So, like, if you're into punk rock, for instance, you know, you see yourself as a punk, and you define yourself against what, you know, punk is supposed to be against. And it's interesting how that sense of identity doesn't necessarily change as you get older. You know, like, you still hold on to that, even when you're no longer a kid. So I think sometimes people, you know, they have these sort of entrenched biases that they take from, you know, their teen years and their 20s, and when they get older, they don't want to let it go. And it's such a part of who they are that, like, taking in something that's new can be really difficult.
But then why wouldn't people just keep following that particular genre? Say, if you like punk music, you keep up on whatever bands sound like they're the latest in punk music and follow the thread along, like you might, say, I don't know, with a kind of movie or a book. What's different about music?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, that does make sense that you would just follow the genre as it develops over the years. But, you know,
Stephen, are you still with us? And it looks like we lost Stephen. We're going to try to reconnect with him right now. And in the meantime, we're curious about what you think about this. Does this sound like you? Did you hit, say around age 33 and then decide you were kind of done listening to new music, looking for new music, hunting it down, and you set your musical preferences? You're still listening to the stuff from your 20s or your teens, for that matter. Call us and let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Stephen is back with us now. Stephen, you were talking about why it might be that we don't keep just following a particular genre of music.
Yeah, as I was saying, it's interesting because, you know, like, when I was growing up, you know, we would always have to deal with our parents telling us that, like, the music that we loved wasn't as good as the music that they grew up with. And, you know, when you're a kid, you always think, well, I'm never going to be that closed-minded when I become an adult. And yet now that, you know, I'm in my 30s and I, you know, see friends of mine who now have kids, you know, they're saying the same thing. You know, they're talking about music that they grew up in the 90s being better than music now. And I think part of that is that, you know, as you get older, you have a longer perspective on music. You know, like, it's not like when you're a kid, and like for instance, you know, when I was growing up in the 90s, like, when you hear Nirvana for the first time, that might be the first type of band like that you ever heard. So then they sound revolutionary because your frame of reference is so much more limited. But then 20 years after that, you've heard lots of music, you have a much, you know, you're much more educated in a way, so things don't sound as fresh. And anything that's newer, I think, tends to sound derivative sometimes to people who are older. So you end up, you know, in a situation where, like, you have old people saying, well, this new band is just a ripoff of something that I liked 20 years ago, and which is the same thing that our parents said when we were kids. So I think for some reason it's just harder for people to hear, I guess, the nuances in what's new now. You know, there just seems to be this impulse for people when they get older to dismiss things as just being rehashed. You know, and things were better when they were younger.
Well, do you think there's anything to that argument before we totally dismiss it, that maybe pop culture is sort of evolutionary in a sense, and the weak get winnowed out, and the things that are the best get distilled and brought forward, and maybe it's sort of a narrowing tip of a pyramid in terms of goodness when it comes to music?
I mean, I think that's definitely true. I think that things do get rehashed, and obviously, you know, every new band that comes along has influences, and they're going to start out early in their careers by, like, sort of emulating their influences and trying to reach, you know, what their heroes did. I think where the fallacy comes in is the belief that, like, when you were younger, things were original, and now they're rehashed. The fact is that when you were a kid, things were also rehashed. It's just that you didn't know it. You thought that this was something fresh and new. I mean, but that's just what art is. Art is a continuum, you know, like, especially music. It's a set of sounds and attitudes and lyrics and all that kind of stuff that gets passed down. And the more that you know about music, the more you can see that. And I think that's kind of fascinating personally. Like, I love having that perspective of, like, you know, having heard stuff from 20 years ago and then comparing it to stuff that comes out now and seeing what gets changed and what remains the same and what gets carried forward and just kind of experiencing that continuum, you know, rather than being turned off by it.
And do you think we might also see music from our 20s as the best of our life because we're young then? Maybe we're at peak happiness when we're our 20s and, I guess, early 30s.
Well, absolutely. I definitely think, you know, when we talk about memory, like, music is, like, one of the strongest sort of catalysts for how we remember the past. You know, it's like the old cliche about hearing a song on the radio and remembering everything about your life the first time you heard it. You know, I mean, there's countless examples of that. And I think certainly, you know, as you get older and, you know, your life is maybe not as carefree as it once was, you know, like in your teens and 20s. If you're hearing songs from that era, you know, it might be a form of escapism for you, you know, to relive that. And I think that's totally fine. I think that's one of the great things about music, the sort of way that it can transport you out of your body to, like, different times in your life. I think where it becomes a problem is, like, when you maybe get a little closed off from the world and only live in the past, when, in fact, you know, there's a lot of good things that are happening in the present.
I'm talking right now to music critic Stephen Hayden about the way our attitudes toward music change over time. Recent articles suggesting that a lot of us sort of fossilize at the age of 33 and we stop listening to new music and we just keep on listening to the music sort of our youth, of our 20s and teens and the early 30s. What about that? Is this you? Does it sound like you? Are you someone who keeps searching for new music no matter what your age is? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we're going to go now to Joe joining us in La Crosse. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I listen to all sorts of music largely because I teach at the university and I have a lab that I have a lot of college students in, and they're allowed to bring in whatever music they want or listen to whatever music they want, which exposes me to the current music, but they have to listen to what I listen to as well, which exposes them to what I used to listen to. And I think things like Pandora are great because you put in something that you like, and then it starts playing similar things that expose you to a whole bunch of music.
Great. Well, thanks for that, Joe. A bit of cross-pollination is good for everybody, Joe is saying. Do you think it works that way, Stephen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the way that streaming works now. I mean, it's easier than ever to discover new music. I mean, if you have, you know, access to Pandora or you have a Spotify account, you know, I mean, to subscribe to these services, it's a pretty nominal fee, you know, like maybe $10 a month. Or you can go on YouTube, as many people do, and sample music there. And, you know, all these streaming devices have some sort of discovery function where, like the guy who just called said that, you know, like if you like a certain artist, it'll suggest other artists who sound similar. You know, if you go on Spotify, that, you know, there's a similar thing on there as well. There's also like easy ways to find new releases on there. There's usually like a social media aspect to a lot of these services, so you can see what your friends are listening to. If you do have a friend that still listens to new music, you know, that's usually a great way to find out about new artists.
Let's get in one more quick call here. Alec is with us from Maquanago. Hi, Alec.
Hi. So I had read this article. I actually shared it with my girlfriend online, and I begged her. I said, please don't let us be these people, because we're 31 and 33 respectively right now.
You're right there.
Yep, we're right there. And, I mean, I think that's probably true for a broad segment of people, you know, that they stop listening to different types of music. But I think there's a huge section of people that also really pride themselves on getting to know new music. You know, and I know the article is really mainly talking about, you know, like pop music. Like, you know, no people who are going to be over 33 are going to listen to the new Ariana Grande album. But it doesn't mean they're not going to discover stuff that they didn't have an opportunity to listen to when they were younger, like really older jazz or like classical music. Because, you know, following the genres as they evolve, the genres change so much. Punk isn't what it used to be when it started. You know, jazz has essentially stopped at like fusion and Latin jazz. So it's really tough to evolve. But also I think that there's a lot of people who will hearken back to stuff that, you know, they didn't know back in the day, and they'll discover stuff that was loved by other generations, you know.
Great point. Thank you for that, Alec. And that's definitely me. I don't always listen to what's on the radio or new stuff, but, you know, I discovered Wilco about 5 years ago. Probably everyone else in the world knew about Wilco. But what about finding bands and music that's new to you, but, you know, maybe older?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the great things about music. You know, we talked earlier about how vast music is and how that can be intimidating, but the great thing about that is that, you know, like as many great TV shows as there are right now, I mean, it's a fairly limited thing. Like there's only so many shows that are as great as The Wire or The Sopranos or whatever, but there are so many, like there's so many galaxies of music out there just waiting to be explored. You know, it's like, if you've never listened to jazz, like, think of how many great eras of jazz there are, or how many great eras of folk music there are, or just pick any genre. And again, that music is more accessible now than it's ever been, probably ever, you know. So yeah, just waiting for you to dive in.
We're talking right now to music critic Stephen Hayden about how we listen to music may change over time. Our conversation today in response to a recent article that suggests a lot of us stop listening and searching out new music around the age of 33. And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Is this your story? If you're in your 30s or beyond, do you prefer the music that you grew up with? Do you think of it as sort of comfort music, the music of your teens and your 20s? Or are you still seeking out the cool new stuff? You can call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. We continue our conversation now with Stephen Hayden, music critic and staff writer for Grantland. According to a recent analysis of music data from the website Spotify, a lot of us stop listening to new music and go back to the music of our teens and 20s, starting around the age of 33. Not true totally for Rob Ferret, my co-host. This is a song I Sat by the Ocean by Queens of the Stone Age. Apparently this was Rob's jam for 2 years. He made an effort to get out there and look for new music. And we want to hear your story. Do you have a problem with music these days? Do you have a cutoff date for the music you listen to? Do you go back to those old comforting tracks from your teens, your 20s, your early 30s? Or do you go out there and look for new music? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we go now to, how about a Facebook comment here from John in Annapolis, who says, at age 57, I'm always on the lookout for new music. On my Android phone, Shazam is by far the most used app. I stumble across new music through radio stations, TV shows, movies, internet clips, YouTube videos. A lot of these discoveries, he says, lead to purchases, sometimes a single track and sometimes a full CD. So, Stephen, is that a good tool for people to explore the new world of music if they're getting stuck?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as the music industry has evolved, or some would say devolved, oftentimes the best way to get songs out there are through commercials or through television shows, where you don't necessarily know like who the artist is or what the song title is. So like having something like Shazam is a great way to discover new artists, because you know that is often now how artists get exposed. I think that's a great idea.
We're gonna go back to the phones now. We've got Christine joining us from Appleton. Hi, Christine.
Hello. I'm 51, and I'm constantly looking out for new music. I actually get a lot of new music ideas from the New York Times. And so a good example is I have tickets to see Belle and Sebastian and Courtney Barnett. So I've been listening to Belle and Sebastian since I was in my 30s, and Courtney Barnett, the new artist that I really loved. And so I just think music is constantly evolving, and there's constantly good stuff.
Christine, does it take you a long time to search out that new music? That's an obstacle for some people, including me, is that you really have to sometimes go digging. Do you find it to be time-consuming?
Not really. I mean, I'm serious, and so there's a sort of a new music alternative station, and so there's constantly new music on there. And the Sunday New York Times has been great. I found a lot of good artists there.
Great. Well, thanks, Christine. Appreciate your thoughts. And Stephen, she goes to the New York Times, also Sirius, Spotify, Pandora. What do you recommend for finding new music?
Well, first off, I just want to second the Courtney Barnett recommendation. She made one of my favorite records of the year. I actually wrote a profile of her about her for Grantland, where I write, so I would recommend Grantland as a place to go. I have to plug my own site. I think really now, the New York Times, they have great music coverage. I think, social media is really another really great place to find out about new music, because, people, along with sharing everything else in their lives, they're constantly sharing like what they're listening to on Spotify or on any number of streaming services. And for as long as there's been music, like the best way to discover new artists is usually from recommendations that you get from your friends, and that is the best way, I think, to get it now. So If it's something you're interested in, like the caller just said, it doesn't take that much work to find new artists that you might be into.
All right. Well, thanks for that call. Let's go next to Jack calling from Wisconsin Dells. Hey, Jack.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
So I'm more than double this cutoff age that you guys are talking about.
Uh-huh.
And I have been able to find new music because I got a subscription to a satellite radio. I'm too lazy to look in the New York Times and look stuff up. So I just listen. I make it a habit to go to a different station every other day or so just to see what's on. I had everything from all the classics that I like to Katy Perry to reggae to the down-home country boys at the Bean Blossom. So and it's exciting for me because I think, like you guys said before, there's the same thing over and over again, but it's done differently each time, and it makes it exciting, and it makes it fun to listen to.
Great place to leave it. Thank you, Jack. Jack is obviously an omnivore when it comes to his music. And just briefly, Stephen, as we wrap up, what encouragement would you give people to look for new music?
Yeah, I would just say that the attachment that you have to the records that you grew up with, that's great, and it's sacred, and I wouldn't discourage anyone from like revisiting music that they grew up loving. But I would just say that it's not as if you can't still have those connections with new songs. You know, if you think about how great those songs that you were, that you grew up with, you know, you can form those kind of relationships with songs now. So then when you're older than you are now, you can look back on this part of your life as being, you know, sort of a magical time, and that these artists kind of evoke that period. I mean,
Stephen,
really
thank you so much. We're going to leave it there. That was Stephen Hayden, a Wisconsin-based music critic and staff writer at Grantland. You can keep the conversation going at the Central Time Facebook page.